Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Give Richie and our team a hand clap. They did a great job here. Appreciate them. We started a series last week called Because I Believe. We talked about the subject of faith. You don't hear as much about it today, as we should, and yet the Bible talks about it a lot. In fact, over 400 times in the New Testament, you see the word faith and you see the word believe. And so it's something we can't skip. And it's something that's important to our walk. This is how we live. This is how we walk. So we're going to launch into this again. Faith is belief, a firm persuasion, and conviction. Paul sent Timothy to the Thessalonian church. He said, I'm sending Timothy to you to strengthen you and encourage you concerning your faith. And the reason he wanted, he said that he heard they were going through problems. He said, I don't want you shaken by the afflictions that you're going through. And so what we find out is the stronger we are in what we believe and the stronger we are in our persuasion, then when problems come, we don't use the word shaken. How about you've ever used the word rattled? Someone's just rattled. You could just tell. Maybe you've been rattled. Maybe something's happened and you come in and you're just like, okay, I need to try to get this together. And so Paul was saying, if I strengthen you and encourage you in your faith, then you're going to be able to have it together. You're not going to be as rattled. Well, what a great way to go through life, not fearing life and not fearing what's up ahead, but knowing whatever's up ahead, you got what it takes to handle it, because you know who can handle all of it, and you're connected with him. And so as Paul talked to Timothy, he sent him down there, and he said, look, he said, Timothy brought back words of your faith and your love. Now, the thing about it is it has to be something visible for Timothy to say, no, they're doing good in their faith. They're doing good. They're strong. They're loving one another. They're strong in their faith. They're strong in what they believe. Their persuasion is strong. And so there's got to be something that would indicate if something is strong in our life or. So in other words, this faith is not some kind of nebulous thing that we kind of like some people have and some people don't. This is a persuasion. This is how we live. So let me give you three areas tonight, three areas of really that reveal what we believe, our words, our actions, and our demeanor. I can tell faith. You remember Jesus when he was on the earth, and a Roman centurion came to him one time and said, Lord, he said, I need you to come to my house and heal my servant because he's about to die. And Jesus started heading that way. And Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion stopped him and said, no. He said, you don't even need to come to my house. I'm sorry, I misquoted that. He said, you don't even need to come to my house. You just say the word only and my servant will be healed. And Jesus turned around and said, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And so evidently the man's words gave Jesus an indication. This is what he believed. And by the way, his servant was healed. And so our words are something that give us an indication of what we believe. 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what was written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and speak. So we believe and speak, and the stronger we believe, the stronger we speak. Now, you know this from this. Many of us, when we first came to the Lord or came back to the Lord, and someone said, hey, are you saved? And you kind of hesitated. And you're like, yeah, I think so. Or I hope so. And then the more you grew and the more your faith grew, someone can ask you today, are you saved? Yes. No, we don't even hesitate. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know really if you're saved because you didn't get baptized in our church. And you look at me and go, bless your heart. I don't need to get baptized in your church. It's not a matter of getting baptized. Baptism is a sign of what's already happened in your life. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is a sign of what happened when you made Jesus your Lord. You were buried with him in baptism. You were risen with him to walk in newness of life. It's an outward sign of something that's already taken place on the inside. Because I've heard people say, I was so concerned with my relative. They got saved, they prayed, but they didn't get baptized. Listen, it's a heart thing. Baptism is your best witness. Baptism, because you can't baptize yourself. That's taking a bath. So it is a witness of what's happened in your life. So what we believe. Now, the stronger you believe, the stronger you begin to speak. And that this is in a lot of areas. In the 80s, when I came back to the Lord, there was a lot of people that were faith. We talked about faith a lot and words. And people started making confessions. And so they would make confessions. And we had confession police, people that if you said something, I went to Bible school, man, they would blow you away if you said the wrong thing. I remember I said to one guy, hey, man, take care. And he's like, the Bible says take no care, brother. I'm like, great, Mr. Confession Police. Really appreciate that. But everyone was very conscious of their words. But really what you believe, Joy and I had a friend, and she she was funny because she knew to say the right thing, but she said it with the wrong spirit behind it. Say, how are you doing? She said, well, I'm blessed and highly favored. You felt sorry for her as soon as she said it. It's like, that doesn't sound like blessed and highly favored. It sounds like you're just saying the right thing. But the more you believe it, the more you begin to speak. What's in us will eventually come out of us. Luke 6:45, this is Jesus speaking. This is the Christian Standard Bible. A good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart. This is that verse that talks about the treasure in your heart. And an evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart, for his mouth speaks from the overflow of his heart. So in other words, what's in us begins to come out of us. And now here's the good news. If you're thinking, well, that's not good. You can change what's stored up in your heart. Psalms 119 says this, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So beginning to store God's word in your heart will begin to change things. Now, here's something that we want to think about. And we talked a little bit about this. Well, we talked a lot about this. We talked about changing how we think and changing our mindset. I was listening to a doctor of neuroscience. And I have no indication this guy was a believer or not. He's simply talking about rewiring your thinking. And he was having a conversation. To really rewire your thinking, if your default thinking, your default thinking is the type of thinking that you do when you're not really focused on something and your mind just kind of goes. He said default thinking a lot of times, and we can label it, maybe your default thinking is fearful, or your default thinking is defensive, or maybe it's angry, and your thoughts are always running along those lines. He said you can change that. Now, this is a scientist. He said, you can change that. He said, you need to write down a new thought. So write it. He said, in other words, get your senses involved and write it. He said, and then you need to read it, and then you need to speak it, and then you need to think about it. He said, if you'll do this repetitively, he said, you can actually begin to get it in your subconscious. Now, here's where I think science has no understanding of the human spirit. So they call it a subconscious. We'll call it the spirit of man. Man, you know, we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. And so he said, you'll get it embedded into your subconscious, and it can begin to change the way you think. Now, this is a guy who's not talking about scripture. But if it works with taking a thought, so maybe your thought is, I am a positive person, and you're taking that thought. This neuroscience scientist said, you can take that thought, you can go over it, you can speak it out loud, you can read it, you can visualize it, you can see it, and he said, and you'll begin to get it embedded in you, and it will change your brain, change how you think. And everyone goes, yay. And I'm going, hey, I got something even better than that. I can take one of God's thoughts And I can write it and read it and visualize it and begin to think it and go over it again. And the repetition, listen, guys, do not be afraid of repetition. Repetition, especially in Scripture, is good. We learn by repetition. There was a Japanese musician called Suzuki. And Suzuki said, I can teach any child to play the violin. He said, it is a function of repetition. He said, I can teach a blind child to play the violin. He said, and he could. He did it. In fact, when Michael, my youngest, was just about 3 years old, he had his eyes actually jumped. And his coordination was such that they told us he'll never get into kindergarten because his soft motor and his motor is not there. And so Michael had a guy came in and played the violin in church in his little class. And Michael told Joy he wanted to play the violin. And Joy's like, but as Joy prayed about it, she said, okay, well, we're going to play the violin. And what she realized is the hand eye began to actually improve his thing. But it was repetition over and over again. Joy told the teacher, I don't care if he never does a recital. Just let him think he's playing. And he would play at three, started playing at three and at four. And we used to have a little poodle that would sit there right at his feet and howl every time. Because I'll tell you something about the violin. When it's played well, it's one of the most beautiful instruments ever. When it's played poorly, it's one of the hardest things to listen to in your life. And the little poodle would sit there and just go, oh, oh, oh. But Joy made him do it. And the repetition began to strengthen. So by the time he got in kindergarten, he had the motor skills that he needed to get it done. And then by the time he was in eighth grade, the teacher said, told another one, he said, he's actually got a gift. Michael, we wish he'd pick it up again. He's gifted at the violin. When he plays it, he used to go to competitions and they were saying, how can you get that sound out of that cheap violin? And it's a gift. And so we discovered something just almost by accident, but you know, God has great ways of getting stuff done. But the repetition is what helped him get there. So listen, he said, well, why don't we like repetition? Because we're too easily distracted and too easily bored. And so you go over it and you go over it, your mind says, I got that. And then you go over it, I've heard that. I've heard people say, I've read that. I've read the Bible. Good, but you can go over it again and again and again. It's living. It's alive. There's some things you can read. I love to read. I used to read books. I read The Hobbit and the trilogy. I read it twice. About the third time, I didn't want to read it the third time. But listen, God's Word, I can pick it up and read the same chapter again and again and again. And because it's got life in it, because it does something in me, the repetition is good. It will help you. And so if you've got areas that you're saying, you know what, I need to get God's Word in my heart in an area. Maybe I've got sin in an area that I want to deal with. Maybe I have a weakness, or maybe I'm dealing with fear. There are verses that you can go to, and you can begin to find those verses, and it talks about who we are in Christ. And you can take those verses and begin to go over them and visualize them and speak them. And visualizing, we say, well, I'm not into visualization. That's New Age. No, it's not. It's Bible. It's meditation. Psalms 1, verse 2 says, but in his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That means you go over it, you murmur it, you speak it day and night, you repeat it. Because the God who made us knows how we're wired. And he knows what we need to do to change all the junk that's gotten in our life that needs to get out of our life, and it can be displaced. So you begin to put God's Word in. My daughter, Joy is the queen of repetition. She is good at repeating. If she didn't think you heard it, she'll repeat it. And then she'll repeat it again just to make sure you really got it. But what we've discovered is it was repetition that got healing scriptures in her that made such a difference. Amen. In her life. And then when my daughter struggled with math when she was little, and she really had a struggle with math. And so Joy had to teach her the multiplication table. And she found something called sing, spell, read, and write. Yep. Anybody ever heard of that? Yep. Sing, spell, read, and write. And so she had Christina, she had it. There were songs to the multiplication table. Two times, and they, like some of them had country. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 3 is 6. Listen, I memorized that whole. I know my multiplication table because I heard it over and over and over again. But here's what happened. She sang it. She would write it. She would spell it. And when she got into school, my daughter who struggled with math just absolutely crushed the other students, even in the higher level classes. And they asked Joy, how are you teaching her that? Repetition works. Your word I've hidden in my heart so I don't sin against you. You can store God's word in your heart. Some of you, if you have a problem with cussing, I used to cuss a lot. I don't counsel, so just don't get nervous. But if you have a problem with cussing, it's because you've had it in you for a while. Start reading God's word out loud. Put some scriptures in you, and what you're going to find out is that when you hit something, the first thing that comes out of you is not a cuss word. The first thing that comes out might be, Jesus, or Lord, or help me. But in other words, you can change. You can change the way you think. You can change what's in your heart. And our words are an indication of what's in our heart. They're an indication of faith. It's a life spiral. You heard of a death spiral, haven't you? Death spiral are a series of events that each event just sends you more and more on the downward trend. But a life spiral is a series of things that you can do that sends you on an upwards trend. So here's a life spiral. God's word, Romans 10:8, says, what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. Say, Alan, you're always trying to get us to read the Bible. And on Wednesday nights, you're talking to us about speaking God's word. That's right, because you're the Wednesday night people. You're my woo group. And so you need to woo up on speaking God's word. Because it's a life cycle. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. The more you speak it, the more it gets in you. The more it gets in you, the more you begin to speak it. And pretty soon, it just becomes a part of you. Faith is revealed in our words. Here's the second thing. Faith is revealed in our actions. Jesus saw, remember the story of the four guys who brought their paralyzed friend into Jesus? Couldn't get into him to see him. So they dropped a hole in the roof and dropped their friend down right in the middle of when Jesus is speaking. A long way. No one does that here, but it's a long, long way. And the Bible said, and Jesus saw their faith. He saw it. So their actions are an indication of faith. Let me give you a great verse. That's a great verse, a good indication of faith. 1 Peter 1:8 says, but what does it say? The word, no, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see. Him is in italics, indicating that the translators added it for clarity. But you can read it this way. Though now you do not see, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So in other words, when we believe something, as we believe it, we begin to express it. So just think about this. believing what God has done for us. Water break. Believing what God has done for us and in us can cause us to give thanks. Anybody believe you're a new creation in Christ? Anybody believe that God forgave you of all your sins? Anybody believe that you are actually chosen of God? Adopted as a son? How about this one? Highly favored. You're one of God's favorites. You know, the more we believe that, it ought to make us happy. We can go, praise God. I'm one of God's favorites. That's good. I'm chosen. I'm forgiven. I'm. How about this? How about blessed? Some people think, I'm not blessed. I've been cursed all my life. Well, when you made Jesus your Lord, you got part of a new family. You're no longer cursed. The curse is off you. You're blessed. Do you hear that?
Amen.
Well, there's a witch in my apartment complex, and she cursed me. You better tell her to make it to fit, because I'm rubber and you're glue. Everything you, every curse bounces off of me and sticks to you. You cannot curse me. You cannot curse what God blessed. And so we don't need to be afraid of people putting a curse. I mean, I know, we got an aunt in the family, and if she didn't like it, she's going to put a curse on you. I'm like, you can't. I'm blessed. I am blessed in Christ. I'm forgiven in Christ. I'm chosen in Christ. And because of that, I'm happy about it. And so I rejoice in it. It's a rejoicing thing. If the more we believe, the more we rejoice. Okay, this, I can tell you're not traveling with me, so let's go here. Tonight, right before you go to bed, you're brushing your teeth, and all of a sudden you turn around, there's a big angel in your bathroom. When you pick yourself up off the floor, angel just says, look to you and says, I want to tell you that you're forgiven, you're chosen of God, and you're blessed. Poof, then he disappears. Well, when you get all the hairs on your head and arm to stand down, and you go to bed, when you wake up the next morning, what are you thinking? You're thinking, I am blessed. This is going to be a good day. This is going to be a good day. Listen, we have a word. The Bible said, this is more sure than any angel. And so as we believe this, it'll begin to make a difference. Now here's something, here's another life spiral. The more you begin to thank God for it, the more you actually begin to believe it. It actually will strengthen your faith. I'll start this and then we'll wrap it up next week. The best example of this is Abraham. Let's read his example. You remember the story of Abraham. Abraham was 100 years old. His wife Sarah was 90. The Lord said, you're going to have a baby through Sarah. He said, and Abraham, not being weak in faith, not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. I don't need to explain that to you guys, do I? Okay. Since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So in other words, he ain't producing, she ain't producing. He did not waver, and that word means separate at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Leave it up there just for a second. So Abraham, Lord said, I'm condensing this, Lord said to Abraham, he said, you're going to have a baby, and that you're going to have it through Sarah. And, you know, at first they laughed. And then God really began to work with Abraham and took him outside and showed him the stars and said, you're going to have descendants like this. And Abraham made an adjustment. So did Sarah. They made an adjustment. They began to say, God, if that's your promise, then it doesn't matter what's going on. Sarah had never been able to have children. Abraham's 100 years old. And so he said, not being weak in faith, so they just begin to thank God. That word, they didn't waver at the promise of God. That word actually means to separate themselves from. So instead of hearing God's promise and them going, yeah, that's great. I don't believe that. That would have separated them. Instead of separating themselves, they strengthened their faith, giving glory to God. So what Abraham and Sarah were doing before they saw the baby, before Sarah conceived, they're praising God. They're giving glory to God because of what they believed, not because of what they saw. Listen, we know we can all rejoice if something, I mean, if someone comes to you tomorrow and said, you know, I just love you and I just want to give you a brand new vehicle, so there's a new truck in your driveway, you can get happy. It won't take a whole lot for you to go, I mean, if you walked out and saw it and went, thanks. They think, something's wrong with this boy. But if you walked out and saw it, you're like, that's my truck? Yeah. It's paid for? Yeah. You're like, oh, praise God. Glory to God. That is so wonderful. Yeah, we can do that because the truck's sitting in our driveway. But the thing about it is we're people who live by faith, not by sight. And so what we learn to do is just rejoice before we see it. We rejoice that we're free from that habit that's bothered us before we see it. We're rejoiced that we're strong in the Lord before we see it. We rejoice that we're not worrying about things before we see it. This is how we live. And rejoicing and giving thanks really should be a part of us. Now, I enjoyed the worship session tonight. That was wonderful. But there should be a worship and a praise and a rejoicing in us, not just on Sundays or Wednesdays. It should be all the time. In fact, some of my best praise and worship sessions are me in the car and just having a great time worshiping the Lord. We can do that. But here's what you're doing. You say, well, God doesn't need my worship. You're right. He doesn't need our worship. We need to worship. We're the ones that need to worship because God is good and He is great and He is holy and He is awesome and He is so merciful to us. We have something to worship. But then as we're doing it, it's strengthening what we believe. Amen. So we get up and go, God, I believe you're real. The Bible said, he who comes to without faith, it's impossible to please him. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we get up and go, God, I believe that you are. I believe that you're real. I don't have to feel a thing. I believe you. I worship you. You are my God. You are awesome. I give you praise. Thank you for what you've done in me. Thank you for what you have accomplished in me. Thank you. I'm a new creation. Thank you. I'm not the same person I used to be. Thank you. And you can stir yourself up and just worship God and have a great time. And what you're doing the same time as you're honoring and worshiping God, you are strengthening what you believe. Christianity is not quiet. Christianity is expressive. And we're expressive. You say, well, I'm just a quiet, stoic person. You can change. I really encourage you to change. Because a lot of times just being quiet, you're missing such a great way to express your heart and express your faith. And it's a great way to live. When you get to heaven, do you honestly think we're going to be quiet? Yeah, you talk about woo. We're going to be wooing for a few thousand years. I'd be like, woo, woo, oh, this, woo, woo, woo. Some of you are going to see someone else go, woo, I didn't think you were going to make it, but woo. Bow your heads with me just for a second. Let's pray. If you came this evening and you said, you know what, Alan, I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord. I'm not confident of that, but I want to be. I want to be in the right place with him. Or maybe you were in the right place at one time and you've gotten away from God and you realize, I need to come back. So we're going to say a prayer. Not going to have you stand up. Not going to have you come to the front. But heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I am going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to, you say, Alan, I want to be sure and confident where I stand with the Lord, or I want to come back to him. Would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up real quick across this auditorium? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Say, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Great. Appreciate your courage. It takes humility and courage to do that. Put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking around. We're going to say this prayer together. Online, if you're by yourself, but you pray it. You can pray it out loud. If you're with others, you can pray it quietly. We're going to pray it here as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Heads still bowed. Father, thank you for those who acknowledge their need for you. Thank you that you answered that prayer. With the heart we believe, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in their lives and what you'll do through them. Lord, we just give you all the praise tonight for your goodness to us, for your mercy to us, for the plans we have, and for the fact that we're going to be with you throughout eternity. That's such a joy, such an honor, such a privilege. So we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.